Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercies. Thank you for everything you have done in our lives. Thank you for greater things you're about to reveal in our lives. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for your words that are coming to pass in our lives and situations. Thank you for your peace and joy that is ruling in our hearts and minds. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for helping us when we really needed help from you. Thank you for your interventions that has terminated shame and disgrace in our lives. Thank you for making all things work together for our good. Thank you, Lord. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for the truths you keep opening our eyes to see, the truths of your kingdom, the truths of your personality, the truth of your word that you keep showing us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the victories and freedom we have gotten through the power of your truth. We thank you for those truths you have been teaching us through this platform, through these Bible study classes. We thank you for more of your revelations you are still going to show us. I ask, O Lord, that even as we would be learning at your feet, learning in your presence right now, speak to us expressly by your Holy Spirit. Let your word flow through my voice, through my mouth, to bless everyone that will be listening. And let this teaching be understood by everyone in such a way that they would not be confused but be edified and transformed. Thank you, Father, because I know you will do more than our expectations. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome you to the class, the Bible study class. We're going to continue from where we stopped during the last class. As you know, we have been talking about the Holy Spirit and your spirit, and we have talked on many points, several points on that subtopic. Yeah, the next point that I will be talking about now is you can only discern realms of darkness you have conquered. You can only discern realms of darkness you have conquered. Yeah, and if you have not forgotten that the theme or the title of the teaching or of the study we have been looking at says building a strong discerning spirit. Yeah, building a strong discerning spirit. That is the broad topic or the title. So under that is the subtopic we are looking at now, which is the Holy Spirit and your spirit, the relationship, the connection between the Holy Spirit and your spirit. Yeah, so now under that one is the point I have just mentioned. I said you can only discern realms of darkness you have conquered. Yeah, so which means if you have not conquered a realm of darkness, don't think you can accurately discern everything that is going on in that realm. Yeah. For instance, if you have not conquered the realm of witchcraft, don't think that you can accurately and perfectly discern everything going on in the witchcraft realms. You will not be able to. Yeah. Because spiritual discernment is a function of strength and victory. In other words, you are able to discern because you are strong enough to discern. And also you are able to discern because you have conquered the environment you are discerning. Yeah. Not that environment has conquered you. Yeah. Let me give you an example. If you have not yet conquered the realm of lust, as in L-U-S-T, lost. If you have not conquered the realm of lost, you will not be able to discern if you meet people who are under the bondage of lust, maybe sexual lust, for instance. You will not be able to discern those who are under that bondage or who are being controlled from that realm, you will not be able to discern those people, or even people who have been possessed by the spirit of lust. You will not be able to discern if you have not conquered the realm of lust. We have heard of pastors who easily fell into fornication and adultery. When tempted, by the opposite sex, praise the Lord. I think the network was failing. But I believe you can hear me now. I was giving an example. I said we have pastors who easily fell into fornication and adultery. I mean, they committed fornication and adultery with maybe someone in the church or someone outside the church when they were tempted by the opposite sex. One of the reasons why they easily fell into that sexual sin was because they could not discern. Though I know some of them, even God warned them, but they wanted to commit the sin. But I'm talking about some who did not really want to commit the sin, but somehow were overwhelmed with emotions to the point that they fell and committed the fornication. So those ones fell because they could not discern the spirit of lust that was in the tempter, the person that was tempting them, the person Satan used to tempt them or to lure them into the sexual sin. So they could not easily discern, because at the first meeting with the person, they should have sensed the spirit of lust. So that there's a way you will just know it while you are talking with people that carry that spirit, especially people that have been assigned by the devil, or that are under the influence of the devil to lure you into sin, or to lure you into sexual sin. Those kind of people, when you see them, you will know if you have conquered the realm of lust. You easily discern that spirit even from their voice and appearance, even if they don't dress seductive, you will be able to discern that this person has lust, and this person, I need to be careful with this person, because this person is trying to lure me to sin. This person is trying to defile me. You will just know it automatically if you have conquered the realm of lust. That is just an example. We have many realms in the dark kingdom. In fact, every sin has a realm. Every sin has a spiritual environment that is fueling it. Every sin has a realm of darkness that is backing it up, that is promoting it, enforcing it. Yeah. So, and you must overcome those realms of darkness to be able to know what is going on in those realms, and to be able to know the presence of such realms when you encounter them. That is discernment, to know the presence of something, the presence of a spirit. Yeah, to know people that are in those realms, people that are operating from those realms because they have been captured by those realms. Yeah, sometimes while talking with someone, maybe for just 10 minutes or at most 20 minutes, I can literally point out maybe 10 or 20 realms that have conquered that person. I don't know if you're getting my point. I mean, just talking with someone for maybe 10 minutes or 20 minutes, whether I'm seeing the person or I'm not seeing the person. Yeah, I mean seeing the person physically or I'm not. I can literally be able to point out all the realms, not all, at least some of the realms, maybe 5 or 10 or 20, that has conquered that person's soul. I mean the soul of that person or the spirit of that person. Yeah, I can just be able to tell. Yeah, I can just be able to tell because I have conquered those realms alone on my own. So that is why I could also know people who are being controlled from that realm of darkness, or people who have been captured, people who have been oppressed by those realms. I could know. So that puts me in a position to be able to open their eyes, even though many find it difficult to believe when we tell them the truth about what is wrong in their lives. Yeah, but for those who really want to be free, when we teach and preach to them, when we preach to them, they easily repent, and then when we pray with them and show them how to pray, they easily get delivered. Why? Because I have been able to make them realize what they are into, the kind of captivity they are into, and how to come out. Yeah. And it becomes easy for them to come out because of discernment. Yeah. So, the success of any deliverance ministry is in discernment. Yeah, the success of any deliverance ministry, though I don't think deliverance ministry should stand alone. I believe deliverance ministry is inside every ministry. Yeah, because even winning souls, getting people to repent of their sins and turn to God is a deliverance ministry. Yeah, so deliverance ministry, I believe, is not about just, it's not about casting out devils. It entails soul winning, evangelism, and everything we do, to make people mature and grow in the knowledge of God. I believe they all have to do with deliverance. Yeah, but the reason why I said deliverance ministry is that I'm referring to spiritual warfare. Yeah, I'm referring to that part of the gospel of Christ that deals with kingdoms of darkness, demons, realms of darkness, powers of darkness. Yeah. So if we really are going to succeed in that dimension of ministry, which I call deliverance ministry, or deliverance from realms of darkness, from the bondages and captivities of darkness, then we must have a very strong discerning spirit. We must build a strong discerning spirit. I mean, your spirit must become a very strong discerning spirit. And that is how you'll be able to really help people that are suffering under demonic oppressions and afflictions and slavery and control. Yeah. So as I said, you can only discern realms of darkness you have conquered. Yeah. So if you have not conquered the realm of darkness that has captured people's lives and destinies, when you see those people, you will not be able to discern what is going on in their lives. Yeah, you will not, because you have not overcome the realms of darkness that has captured them, which means that that realm have captured you. Yeah, that is why you can't discern the realm. I don't know if you are getting the point. You can't discern the realms of darkness because you are also a victim. Like, for instance, the realm of fear. Yeah, or the realm of anger. Different realms. So if you have not conquered those realms, you will not be able to know the things that devil is doing through those realms in people's lives. Yeah. Or the things devil is doing in people who have been captured by those realms. Yeah. So those are or that is how to really grow in spiritual discernment. So let's look at some scriptures as we proceed. In Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to read verse 8 to 10. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Verse 9. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. Verse 10. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Yeah, so this scripture is talking about the sovereignty and preeminence of Jesus Christ. Yeah, and the writer was describing how Jesus, first of all, descended into the depths of the earth, into the lower parts of the earth, so that after he ascended, after he comes out of those depths he had first of all descended into, after he would have come out of those realms and have sat at the right hand of God in glory, he would be able to feel those things. Yeah, and we know this story. Jesus died. He tasted death in his human body because of us. He was buried. So he tasted the grave because of us. Yeah, even hell. He went into the depths of the grave, into the depths of hell because of us. Not to be destroyed by those things, as those things have been destroying mankind. Sicknesses, death, hell have been destroying mankind. But Jesus went into the depths of weakness, sickness, death, grave, hell. He went deep down into all of these things because he must thereafter deliver as many who have been bound by those things. Yeah. So in fact, that was why the Bible says, with his stripes we are healed. With his wounds we are healed. We are forgiven. So he took all of those infirmities. He took our infirmities, our weakness, our pains, our wounds, because he would eventually be setting those people who have been bound by such things free. Yeah, so that was why he descended. He came so low to the point of death and grave. Yeah. So now he has in his hands the keys of death and hell and grave. So now he controls those realms. But he first of all went deep into those realms, as though he was captured by them, as though he was a victim. Yeah, he willingly gave himself up to be crucified. So he went deep into all those realms as a victim, like a victim would be captured by those realms and forces and kingdoms. Yeah. But inside the depths, he fought and prevailed. Why and how do we know he prevailed? Because he rose again. Yeah, he rose again. So as he rose again, he conquered all of those realms. And he conquered everything connected to those realms. Yeah, and now he's sitting at the right hand of God in glory. Now, what is the message from that scripture? It means that we must not be fearful to face darkness. We must not be fearful to fight darkness and everything that goes along with darkness. Yeah, we must not be Christians that are trying to run away from sicknesses, weaknesses, satanic attacks, demonic attacks. We must not be such Christians. We must be ready to face all of these things, because as we win, as we face such attacks and win, we will have control over those realms. Yeah. So many of you, God is subjecting you to so many darkness because he wants you to be able to win those realms of darkness, and he wants you to be able to have dominion over those realms and be in control over those realms. Yeah, because he wants to use you to set free others out there who are slaves and victims of those realms. Yeah, so every time you face the devil, you face darkness, and you face the realms of darkness, and win, you are not only saving yourself you are also saving a generation. Yeah, every time you face darkness and fight and win and be in control over them, not that they are the one controlling you. You are not only saving yourself or saving your soul, you are saving a generation. Yeah, because eventually you will be in a position to set others free, others who have been captured by similar darkness. Yeah. The reason why some pastors, some preachers are not preaching and teaching on certain things or issues is because they are still victims of those things. They are still slaves of those things. The reason why some pastors will not preach against certain sins, even mention those sins and talk about it without fear, is because they are still slaves to those sins. Yeah. And some of them will talk about it. The reason why, even after they have talked about it, there is no deliverance in the lives of those that are hearing, there is no change, is because the person talking about it, preaching it, is still bound by what he's talking about and preaching about. He's still bound by the realms of darkness, sponsoring or promoting that sin or captivity. Yeah. So that is, this is why it is very important that we are victorious Christians. Are very important. Yeah, if Jesus, without fear, went deep into the lower parts of the earth so that he can save everyone that have been bound by all the depths in darkness, in death, in grave, yeah, then why are we afraid to face darkness with all the powers that we already have in Jesus? Why are we afraid to fight even the things we love most and to conquer? Yeah. Let us read Mark chapter 3, the book of Mark chapter 3 verse 27. Mark chapter 3 verse 27. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Yeah. You can't accurately know what is going on in the realms of darkness if you are not above those realms. You must be above those realms. Yeah, so meaning that darkness is not stronger than you. So you must be stronger than the realm of darkness you want to understand. Yeah, from experience, I discovered that a devil has concealed his mysteries with things that people are afraid of. Yeah, I mean, devil is hiding a secret behind a lock that you are afraid of. Let's say, for instance, devil has hidden something inside a room, and then the door to that room is being locked with something you are afraid of. Do you get that? Yeah, like the door to the secrets and mysteries of darkness is being locked by things that people are scared of. And one of those things is fear. Yeah. And many other things. Things that people don't want to fight because they are scared of it. It could be money. Like some people, they just are afraid of losing money. They just feel like money must always be in their pocket. So anytime they don't have money, they're feeling secure. Yeah, they're feeling secure. So money is stronger than them. Yeah, in other words, they are serving money. They are a slave to money. Because the absence of money makes them uncomfortable. The absence of money in their pocket or bank account make them so uncomfortable and make them feel like they're a loser. Yeah. So there are many other things devil used to conceal in secret. Some it is pride, like lack of humility. Yeah. And many other things like that. There's no time to be talking about those things one by one. Yeah. Because there are some secrets that you will not know until you have overcome what the devil have used to lock up that secret. Yeah. Some people, they are afraid of dealing with somebody that is not from their tribe, somebody that is not from their country, or that doesn't have the same skin color with them. They just don't want to deal with that person. Yeah, that is a lock of the enemy to conceal a secret that he doesn't want you to find out. Yeah, some people is greed. So many things that is a lock in the hand of the enemy. So to unlock the secrets of darkness, you must be stronger than whatsoever the enemy have used to lock up the secret. Yeah. So when God wants to, I remember the time God wanted to show me some secrets and mysteries of darkness and of the kingdom of darkness. It began to make me do things that I really don't want to do. Yeah. Because I am someone that really hates darkness. I don't even want it close by. I don't want anything dark close by. So which means that I'm someone that will not just get close to an unbeliever or try to make friends with someone that is so deep in addictions. Yeah. So sometimes your strong approach to holiness can be a barrier to overcoming the depths of darkness. Yeah, because we have some people, they feel like I am holy, so I don't want to have anything to do with those that are worshiping idols. I don't even want to get close to them. I don't even want to talk to them. I don't even want to see them around me. They worship idols. They are infidels. They are whores. They are prostitutes. They sleep around with men. I don't even want to touch them. Sometimes that kind of attitude will not let you overcome the depths of darkness. Yeah. So God had to take me very close. Not even close. God had to take me into darkness itself, so that I can begin to understand what is going on right then. Yeah, not that God is telling me to go and sin, to go and commit sin. Yeah, but God is saying that you must not be afraid. You can't overcome the darkness by just staying far away from it. Yeah, by just running away from it or ignoring it. Yeah, God was telling me that you have to get into heat and overcome it from the inside, just as I overcome. I mean, just as Jesus overcame darkness from the depths of darkness. Yeah. Let me give you an example. Some preachers cannot really talk about some things because they are afraid. Yeah. Yeah, because they are afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of in darkness. Because Jesus has conquered them all. Yeah, some pastors cannot talk about sexual sins, sexual perversions, because they are afraid of the sin. They feel like they might fall into it if they talk so much about it. Yeah. Or if they expose it so deep. Yeah. It is because they are afraid of the realm. So, and because of that fear, there is so much secrets about those things and realms that is not known to them. Because they are afraid to go near. They feel like, I don't want to fall into sin. I don't want to talk about this so much. I don't want to hear about this so much. Yeah, because I don't want to fall into sin. So that is not holiness. It is fear of sin. Yeah. It is fear of darkness. Yeah. So we must overcome darkness even in the depths of darkness. We must be able to overcome these principalities that are strong men that have caged many people through different weaknesses and sins that is in people, or through addictions. Yeah, so we must be able to fearlessly approach these strong men and conquer them, not trusting in our own strength, but trusting in the strength of Jesus. Trusting in the strength of Jesus, we can overcome all realms of darkness through the strength of Jesus. So if you get closer to those people that are in darkness, you should not be scared. Actually, you should not feel like because I have something to do with alcohol, addicts, people that are drinking alcohol, people that are prostitutes, people that are adulterers, fornicators. Don't feel like because I draw closer to these people to really talk to them about Jesus, don't feel like that means your garment, your spiritual garment, have been stained with sin. Don't feel like the fact that you get closer to people worshiping other gods so that you can win them to Jesus, don't feel like it will stain you spiritually. Yeah. So we must fearlessly approach the realms of darkness, trusting in the strength of Jesus. Yeah, let us look at another scripture. In a Titus chapter 1, Titus chapter 1 verse 15, Titus chapter 1 verse 15, I read, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. Yeah, unto the pure, all things are pure. What does that mean? Unto the pure, all things are pure. So it means there's a level of purity you will have in you, in your heart, in your spirit, in your soul, in your body, that will make you see all things differently. Yeah. There's a level of purity you will have in you that will make you to see the purity in all things. Yeah, what it means is that even while you are looking at the most dirty thing, you are discerning how Jesus can turn that most dirty thing or most polluted thing into most pure thing. Yeah, that is what it means. So when you look at a prostitute, you will not be seeing someone who is under the bondage of sexual lust and immoralities. You'll be seeing someone that the power of God can transform into a new creature completely. So when you have pursued purity inside and outside, the Spirit of God in you, or maybe I should say, when you have purity inside of you and outside of you, then the Spirit of God in you will be able to begin to show you how all things can be pure. In fact, the Spirit of God will show you how God is in all things to change all things, including the worst sinners. You begin to see how God is inside the worst sinners to make them pure. Yeah. That is what true purity does. That is what true purity does in us. Yeah. So those people that they say they are pure, and then every other person, they condemn every other person. Oh, that one is a fornicator, that one is an adulterer. So the gospel they preach is gospel of condemnation. Those people, they don't really have the purity of Christ. Because the purity of Christ, we see all things differently. Yeah, the purity of Christ will make you to be looking at where God is in all things to redeem all things, to make all things pure. So when you look at someone who is dressing seductively, someone who dressed half naked to seduce the opposite sex, the first thing that comes to your mind will not be to condemn that person. The first thing that will come to your mind is how God is able to change the person. How God is able to make that person pure. That should be the first thing, yeah, that comes to your mind. And that will now drive you to the place of intercessions for those for such people. And sometimes you might even be able to approach them and talk to them about Jesus and about the kingdom of God and show them that they need to repent and surrender to Jesus. Yeah, but if you're always condemning everyone, then we need to check if you really have the true purity of Christ in you. Because the purity of Christ sees how to make others pure. That purity does not condemn others. I hope you understand. Yeah. It says, unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. So, for those that their heart is polluted and corrupt and carnal and selfish and self-centered, there is nothing pure. Yeah, because they will keep seeing other people as like them. I have met some people who, because of their level of corruption, I mean inward corruption, inward pollution, they thought that is how every other person are. Yeah, because they are polluted on the inside, corrupt on the inside, sinful on the inside. So they thought every other person is just like them. And that's the mistake those people in this category, that's the mistake they make. They believe everyone is thinking like them, reasoning like them. So they began to think or believe that I am also reasoning like them. Yeah. Which is not true. Because eventually they were ashamed. Yeah, because they thought as they were so full of hatred, greed, pride, lust, anger, so they thought that is how I am also. Yeah, so there's a way the darkness in people make them feel like every other person is doing the same thing they are doing. Yeah, there's a way darkness makes people feel like that. Yeah, so that is what this scripture means by saying that those that are defiled, yeah, and unbelieving, nothing is pure to them. They see others as just like them. Yeah. So we should not be like that. We should not be defiled. Yeah, because it will make us not to stand for the truth. Up to now, some people it's still difficult for them to believe that there are pastors who are not like they are. I mean, it is still difficult for some pastors to believe that there are other pastors that are not as corrupt. I mean, they are not corrupt as they are. They are not greedy as they are. Yeah, it's still very difficult for them because they feel like, how is it possible? How can they do ministry and not do what we are doing and not, you know, deceive people and not steal from people? Yeah, it's still difficult for them to believe. Why? Because they are defiled. So they just generalize that every other person is like them. Yeah. So when you allow defilement in your heart, you can't discern anything that is of God. You will just consider everything as unclean and dark. Yeah. Let us look at John chapter 17, verse 19. John 17, verse 19. This is Jesus Christ talking. He said, "And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. And for their sakes I sanctify myself." This is Jesus saying he sanctifies himself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. So he's saying here that he make endless efforts to make sure that he is pure and sanctified, so that whatever he says can change others. Yeah, so in this place, he was praying for the apostles, the disciples following him. He said, "Because of them, I sanctify myself, so that the truth I have preached to them can change them, can sanctify them." Yeah. Yeah, so we cannot have a successful ministry if we don't sanctify ourselves, if we don't separate ourselves from the darkness that the people we are preaching to have been captured by. I mean, if we don't deny the sin, the pollution that those God have sent us to have in them. Yeah. So before our message can really change the people God have sent us to, we must not be at the same level they are. We must not be bound by the darkness that have bound those people. Yeah. So even if you have to take a month to pray and seek God that He would help you to be sanctified. Yeah, even if it would take a month for you to get that personal deliverance and sanctification and total consecration, then you should go for that 1 month prayer before you now go out and preach to people that they should repent. Yeah, otherwise nothing would change in the lives of those people you have been sent to. Yeah, nothing will change. Of course, we have ministries with crowds. Yeah, crowds. And sometimes even with signs and wonders. But the lives of the people are not really transformed. Yeah, because their souls are still enslaved. Even though they got physical blessings, but their souls are still enslaved by darkness, by sin, yeah, by the works of the flesh, and heaven is not sure for them. Yeah, and one of the reasons why we have so many Christians in that category of slavery to darkness, slavery to sin, is because the people preaching to them are also slaves to the same sins and darkness. Yeah. That is it. So you can now see that ministry is beyond that. I can preach with good English. Ministry is beyond I have a large crowd following me. Ministry is beyond I perform miracles. Yeah, ministry really becomes powerful when the minister is sanctified, when the minister is changed, when the minister is victorious over the realms of darkness, which of course includes the realms of sins, the realms of pollutions. Yeah, so when we begin to have ministers in that category, not just ministers that perform miracles, but ministers in the category of sanctified Christians, then we can be sure that we are close to revival, to end time revival. Let me just read a scripture, then we will round off the teaching. Let us read Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4, verse 12 and 13. Verse 12 and verse 13. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Yeah. I'm going to connect this verse with the one in John 17, verse 19, where Jesus was saying that because of the people following him, he sanctified himself. Yeah. So the word of God become powerful in our mouths when we are true to the word of God. Yeah. And not only that, the word of God that comes out from your mouth becomes highly prophetic and highly discerning. When every part of you is true to the word of God, I mean, when every part of you have agreed with the truth in the Word of God, and every part of you obeys that truth, every part of you do the truth that the Word of God teaches. So when you stand to declare the word of God, to preach the Word of God, a lot of things will be coming out of you that would be what people are doing secretly. So God begins to speak through you in such a way that you begin to reveal the intent of people's hearts. You begin to reveal their thoughts that are unclean, just as Jesus did his ministry. So Jesus could look at the people and be able to know what is in their thoughts, what is in their hearts. Yeah, and he could be able to preach. Sometimes he preached and taught exactly according to what is seen in the thoughts and hearts of the people. Yeah, so he preaches and teaches based on what he sees in the hearts of the people. Yeah. Why? Because he's so full of the Word of God. In fact, he is the Word of God. And his life is one with the Word. Yeah, so he said, I sanctify myself to be in agreement with the Word. That's why he sanctifies himself. He uproots many things from his life, his character, that will make him not to be in agreement with the Word. That's what sanctification is about. Yeah, he consecrated himself. He separated himself from so many things that will make his life not to be in agreement with the Word of God. So that is why his ministry becomes so prophetic, that he could reveal what is inside people's hearts and preach against those things. So it becomes very easy for Jesus to save souls, because he himself has been saved. Yeah. So it will become easy for ministers of God to save souls when their own soul have been really saved. I'm not just talking about the born-again title that we give ourselves. I'm a born-again Christian. You are a born-again Christian. And then we are still slaves to many things that we should have overcome. Well, that's not born again indeed. Yeah. So when the minister of God is really sanctified and pure, his ministry becomes very prophetic, especially in the area of discernment. His ministry becomes very powerful to discern, such that it could expose people's intentions. You know, just as Peter looked at that man, Ananias, he said, you are bringing a part of the money to fool us that it is the complete money you sold the land. Yeah, the man did not see anything, but he was able to discern the intentions in his heart. Yeah. If I don't need to even see people to discern what is in their mind, you don't need to see them face to face. Even while reading a text message, you can discern the intention of the person. Yeah, even on a phone call, you can discern the real intention of the person. Yeah, but I've just showed you what we make you so powerful in discernment. That is when your life has become one with the Word of God. Your life, your attitude, your character your mindset, your thoughts, when everything has become one with the Word of God, yeah, then it becomes, you become very powerful in discerning realms of darkness. Yeah, because Jesus said, he said, the God of this world came and he have nothing in me. Yeah, so he said, Satan have nothing in me. He have nothing against me. So concerning all darkness, Jesus was saying, I am pure 100% concerning all darkness. So if we are pure 100%, it means we have prevailed over all darkness. Yeah, then that makes us able to discern every darkness. Yeah, because we have been emptied of all darkness, or we have conquered all darkness, then we will be able to discern all darkness and all the realms of darkness. Yeah. So I'm going to stop here. If you have questions, you can ask on the Telegram platform. Let us pray. Father, we thank you because you are so faithful. Thank you for your word you have exposed to us. Thank you for showing us how we can, through the strength of Jesus, overcome even the depths of darkness. Thank you also for showing us how we must not condemn those that have been captured by darkness, but through love approach them and draw them out of darkness while we remain pure. Oh Lord, thank you for letting us know that we can have a very powerful ministry if we follow your footsteps. I ask, O Lord, that you help as many people here who really want to live above all darkness, who really want to conquer all the realms of darkness. O Lord, help as many right here, right now, in Jesus' name. I pray for you that the fear that is keeping you weak against the enemy, the fear that is keeping you a victim, a slave to darkness, to sin, I pray for you that the Lord shall deliver you from that fear. In the name of Jesus, every realm of darkness that has conquered you and has captured you even up to this very moment, I pray that the Lord deliver you from them all in the name of Jesus. I pray that the Lord empower you to face those realms and those darkness and those sins and conquer them all in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen.